If you have our Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 10. And it's so good to be in his house today. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 10, we pick it up at verse 17. As he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and, well, with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last, first. You know, Jesus is going out on the road. And one comes running. He's going out on the road and a man comes running. A young man comes running. He runs to Jesus and he kneels before him and he asks him a question. The running, the coming, the kneeling, the asking. Fitting. So fitting. The question? Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You know, it's the most important question we can ask. One of the most important questions we can ask in this life, in this lifetime, in our lifetime, many should be asking. More should be asking. All should be asking. The years on this side of eternity, in light of eternity, are like a single grain of sand. The allotted years, and some allotted more than others. A life. A lifetime. But if there be no running, no coming, no kneeling, no asking, And yet, as we've read, this and these still not enough. Good teacher. Is that all he is? Is this all he is? At least the man was respectful. I don't know all of what was going on inside the young man. I don't know all of his thoughts, but this is it for some. Good teacher. Just a good teacher. Good teacher, what shall I do? It's the asking, the seeking, the asking and the seeking of one that is looking for an answer, a runner, a comer, a kneeler, an asker. Will you too be a receiver? And yet, what kind of a receiver? What kind of a recipient? You can hear an answer. This level of receptivity, a question and a response, a question and a reply. You asked, and so you wanted to know. And so I'm laying out the truth. Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I, individual. The Voice Bible reads, a young man came and knelt in the dust of the road in front of Jesus. Young man, good teacher, what must I do to gain life in the world to come? Did the young man know Genesis 3:19? In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. He came running, and he knelt down there, the dust, before Jesus. The Voice Bible, good teacher, what must I do to gain life in the world to come? Jesus, you are calling me good. Don't you know that God and God alone is good? Anyway, why ask me that question? You know the commandments of Moses. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not slander. Do not defraud, and honor your father and mother. The young man, yes, teacher, I've done all these since I was a child. Then Jesus, looking at the young man, saw that he was sincere and responded out of his love for him. Jesus said, son, there is still one thing you have not done. Go now. Sell everything you have and give the proceeds to the poor so that you will have treasure in heaven. After that, come. Follow me. Sell everything. Sell all. Tall order. The New King James Version, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come. Take up the cross and follow me. The young man wanted to know. I mean, why else run? Why else come? Why else kneel and ask? There he is, kneeling in the dust, kneeling in the dust of the road of life in front of Jesus. What answer was he expecting? What kind of an answer was he expecting? Or perhaps a commendation? He knew the commandments. He'd never committed adultery. He hadn't murdered. He hadn't stolen. He'd never bore false witness. He'd never defrauded anyone. He'd honored and had honor for his father and mother. I've done all these things since I was young, since I was a child. All these things I've kept from my youth. I've never once broken a single one of those laws. I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Commandments, laws, important. Jesus said, Matthew 5:17-20, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, that is the smallest letter, or one tittle, the smallest stroke, will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is trying to take this young man beyond his level. Beyond his level of understanding, beyond his level of spirituality, beyond his form of godliness. "I'm squeaky clean, Jesus. I've never broken a single law." You know, Jesus goes on in Matthew 5 saying that murder begins in the heart, that adultery begins in the heart, the condition of the heart. And what of the heart of the young man kneeling in the dust? Never committed. But what of the heart? Never broken. But what of the heart? The words of Spurgeon, "The fact is, this young man lacked knowledge. He did not know the spirituality of the law. He had never been taught that the law concerns our glances, our thoughts, and our imaginations. He supposed he had kept the law because he had not committed any act of adultery or of theft, nor had he spoken the thing that was not true. He did not know that an unchaste glance or a causeless hatred or a covetous desire breaks the law of God and betrays the sin that lurks in the breast. He did not know that, and perhaps some of you do not know it. Oh, that you may be led to know it. May God not only make you to know it as a matter of knowledge, but understand it as a matter of conviction deeply written in the conscience. And he did not know the plan of salvation. The question, 'What must I do to inherit eternal life?' showed that he did not know that salvation is not by doing, but by believing, not by works, but by a simple trust in Jesus. This was a great deficiency. Though he was a model of uprightness in 100 interesting points, which we cannot now stay to discuss, he was lacking in a matter of vital interest to his immortal welfare, in that he was just like many of you, with looks of love and pity, with feelings of tender regard, but deep anxiety. We turn to you, therefore, with this reflection: one thing thou lackest." What must I do? Isaiah 64:6 declares that we are all like an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Trusting in our own goodness for eternal salvation and life, trusting in our own merits, trusting in our own virtues, trusting in our keeping of a list, set of rules. Jesus fulfills the law, and he is our only hope of fulfilling the law. The keeping of the law, the keeping of the commandments is proper and right, and yet it will not see us saved, and it will not see us through to eternal life in heaven. Jesus is the answer. The answer is Jesus. The only answer is Jesus. The law and commandments served purpose until the true fulfillment of it all showed up on the scene. But you know, even before Jesus came, there never lived one that perfectly fulfilled the law. There is none righteous. No, not one. These are important verses, Romans 3, 21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by the blood, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, that is declared righteous, by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes. Of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, are we then undermining the law by this insistence on faith? Not a bit of it. We put the law in its proper place. Now back to our main text, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, however, for there is an important word, Matthew 19, 16 to 18. Behold, one came and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Further words, the questioner ventures to ask, "Which?" Did he suppose that certain ceremonial precepts would be mentioned? Probably he did, for he felt himself quite sure upon all the points of the moral law. Our Lord, however, gives him nothing new, but turns to the ancient Decalogue. He quotes the second table of the law first and begins with commands which would appear to the young man to be mere commonplaces of morality. The last quoted command summarized the rest, and it thought to have opened the questioner's eyes to his shortcomings, for who has loved his neighbor as himself? The young aristocrat was not, however, convicted of sin. He pressed the matter. He pressed his inquiry as to salvation by works because he thought himself on the road to winning it. He was no braggart, but could honestly claim to have led a commendable life. He was no doubt a very exemplary person and so amiable that Jesus looked at him very lovingly. We know some who are like him and may be described as touching the law, blameless. But he was not all that he thought himself to be. He did not love his neighbor as himself, as he would soon be made to see. What lack I yet? Is an inquiry few would dare to put. He felt that if there was anything lacking in him, he was altogether ignorant as to what it could be. His self-esteem needed no increasing. Well, back to the dust. You know, Jesus knows how to answer every question. Jesus knows how to answer every questioner. Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus sees the inside of every person. He knows the heart. Jesus knows the voice Bible. Yes, teacher, I have done all these things since I was a child. Then Jesus, looking at the young man, saw that he was sincere and responded out of his love for him. Son, there is still one thing that you have not done. Go now. Sell everything you have and give the proceeds to the poor so that you will have treasure in heaven. After that, come, follow me. The young man went away sick at heart at these words because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked around to see if his disciples were understanding his teaching. Jesus, his disciples, oh, it is hard for people with wealth to find their way into God's kingdom. Disciples amazed. What? Jesus, you heard me? How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God for those who trust in their wealth. I think you'll see camels squeezing through the eye of a needle before you'll see the rich celebrating and dancing as they enter into the joy of God's kingdom. The disciples looked at each other, whispering. Disciples aloud to Jesus, and who can be liberated? Jesus smiling and shaking his head. For human beings, it's impossible. But not for God. God makes everything possible. Peter, he said, Master, we have left behind everything. Everything we had to follow you, Jesus, that is true. And those who have left their houses, their lands, their parents, or their families for my sake and for the sake of this good news will receive all of this 100 times greater than they have in this time. Houses and farms and brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, along with persecutions. And in the world to come, they will receive eternal life. But many of those who are first in this world shall be last in the world to come. And the last first. They tell the young man that he's committed adultery in his heart. Tell the young man he's murdered in his heart. The Message paraphrase, Jesus looked him hard in the eye and loved him. He said, there's one thing left. Go, sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. And come, follow me. The man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear. And he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let go. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, do you have any idea how difficult it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom? What was it for the young man in the dust? What was it with this young man in the dust? Covetousness? Materialism? This excerpt, this young man, like many wealthy people, is confident in his own abilities. He wants to make sure he will live well in the coming world, but he is not convinced he will not fall short of the mark. And without humbly recognizing his own sinfulness and need in the face of God's goodness and perfection, it is indeed very hard for him to find the kingdom. This is the only person in the Gospels outside of the 12 whom Jesus personally invited to follow him. He is also the only person in the Gospels to walk away from that invitation. The wealth can speak to many things. And it wasn't about the actual wealth or about being wealthy. This was about the heart. What was going on inside the man's heart? Was this the one thing that would hold him back from following Jesus? From truly following Jesus? Did Jesus know that if this man's love for money, materialism wasn't dealt with and left behind, that it would be a hindrance, that this man couldn't fully follow him? You see, we have to come to the point there in the dust when we realize and recognize that we are entirely bankrupt without Jesus. Rich young ruler, poor young ruler. Rich young man, poor young man. Rich man, poor man. We need Jesus. Full surrender to Jesus. Jesus was inviting this young man into an incredible company. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Can you imagine there? Kneeling in the dust in the road of life before Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh among us, kneeling before him. And he's providing you with an answer to your question. And he's giving you the invitation, come. Take up the cross and follow me. Come be my disciple. Come be a disciple. Come walk with me. Come learn from me. Come be with me. Take up the cross, the crucified life. Right here, the eye of the needle. The New King James says, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The Wycliffe Bible, it is lighter a camel to pass through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier that a camel pass through a needle's eye than that a rich man enter into the realm of God. Easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for this young man to enter the kingdom of God, the realm of God. You know, I've seen camel-colored thread pass through the eye of a needle, but I've never seen a camel pass through the eye of a needle. What a picture. What a picture Jesus paints. The imagery he uses. Can't you see it in the man's mind? In the mind of the disciples. R.C. Sproul said, Jesus did not set down a rule that everybody must embrace poverty to be his follower, but I think I'll put this young man to the test about his other God that is before me, his riches. And these words, the rich young ruler looked zealous, humble, and sincerely interested in spiritual matters, but he was willing to walk away from Jesus because earthly wealth meant more to him than heavenly wealth. This man's strength became his greatest weakness. Right there, kneeling down in the dust on the road. This man's strength became his greatest hindrance. And he walked away. Alfred Edersheim said, for looking at him in his sincerity and earnestness, he loved him as he loves those that are his own. One thing was needful for this young man, that he should not only become his disciple, but that in doing so he should come and follow Christ. And although we hear no more of him, who that day went back to his rich home very poor because very sorrowful, we cannot but believe that he whom Jesus loved yet found in the poverty of earth the treasure of heaven. A.W. Pink said these words concerning the rich young ruler of whom it is said Christ loved him, Mark 10:21. We fully believe that he was one of God's elect and was saved sometime after his interview with our Lord. Did he make it? Did he get saved? Did he make it to glory? Did he finally deal with what Jesus called him to deal with? Did he finally pass through the needle's eye? Not here to answer that today. And if he did end up setting things right and living his life for Jesus, look at what he missed out on. He was given the invitation of a lifetime. The chance to literally walk with Jesus, to follow him, to learn from him, to be with him. Personal invitation, come follow me, take up the cross. Even if you pass through the needle's eye at a later time, it wouldn't be like it could have been. Not in this case and not in this way. At a later date, through. And yet he missed the moment. He missed the moment that could have been. Hopefully it wasn't too long. Squandered years. Philip's New Testament, I have kept carefully all these things since I was quite young. Jesus looked steadily at him and his heart warmed towards him. Then he said, there is one thing you still want. Go and sell everything you have, give the money away to the poor, you will have riches in heaven, and then come back and follow me. At these words, his face fell, and he went away in deep distress, for he was very rich. Then Jesus looked round at them all and said to his disciples, how difficult it is for those who have great possessions to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were staggered at these words, but Jesus continued, children, you don't know how hard it can be to get into the kingdom of heaven. Why, a camel could more easily squeeze through the eye of a needle than a rich man get into the kingdom of God. At this, their astonishment knew no bounds, and they said to each other, then who can possibly be saved? Jesus looked straight at them and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Fallen countenance, and away in deep distress. Enough to change a man. Enough to change a young man. Enough to see a man change. Enough to get him through the needle's eye. Impossible in the natural for a camel to get through a needle's eye, but not impossible with God. Jesus on earth calling a young person to come and follow him, calling a person to come and follow him, to take up the cross and follow him. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Come, be my disciple. Come, be a disciple. Come, walk with me and learn from me. Come, be with me. The eye of the needle. He's at the eye of the needle. How do you get through the eye of the needle? Is it possible? How do you get a person like this young man through the needle's eye? Is it possible? How do you get through, man? How do you get through, woman? You can get through the eye of the needle when you are a thread of a life. You know, it's hard enough to get thread through the eye of a needle. A small eye. Thread, man. A thread of a man. The eye of the needle is one narrow gate. There on bended knee in the dust on the road of life, in front of Jesus, in front of the Savior of the world, in front of the Messiah. We can't hang on to anything if we want through the needle's eye. Even just one thing is greater than a camel. A camel has a greater chance of making it through than a person holding on to even one thing. Total surrender. Have you ever seen a child trying to get through a fence? A broken fence with a backpack on. Take off the hump, child. Let go. Or a child with their hand stuck in the cookie jar. You have to let go. A camel getting through, but this man couldn't. For him, the humps of wealth. The heaps of wealth. Can't you see it? The heaps of wealth, a hindrance. You can get through the eye of the needle when you know you are just a thread of a life. Would you ask him today? What one thing? What one thing do I lack? Inquiry few dare to put. And you know, we might be here today saved and still yet still lack one thing. This, unlike the story, unlike the history, but could there be one thing? Perhaps it's something that's attached itself to the thread, something or some. Fill in the blank. Some holdback, some hindrance, some area, something that if Jesus asked us to sacrifice, we would be sad at his word and go away sorrowful. And can thread not be pulled back through the eye? Eternal salvation, but what of security? You know, you can make thread of the hair of a camel. I think of John the Baptist, clothed in camel's hair, clothes made of camel's hair. John, a man who knew he was just a thread of a life, and my, how the Lord used his thread of a life. A thread goes through the needle, and yet another picture, a threaded needle. And the Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use you to sew and to sew and to stitch and to mend and to create and to beautify. And let the Lord take your thread of a life and weave it into his divine tapestry. Are you here this day and you feel like you're holding on by a thread? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is still the answer. He will always be the answer, and he has all the answers. Let's have the worship team return today. Perhaps you're asking this day, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Reading from the Amplified Bible, A man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, you who are essentially good and morally perfect, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, that is, eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom?" Well, the answer is surrender. The answer is repentance. The answer is laying everything down at the feet of Jesus, right there on the road, right there kneeling in the dust of the road of life. If you will, you will pass through the needle's eye. Matthew 16, 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Come, take up the cross and follow. Jesus is saying, come, take up the cross and follow me. He's saying, come, be my disciple. Come, be a disciple. Come, walk with me. Come, learn from me. Come, be with me. The riches of Christ. How many walk away? How many get up? They came, they ran. They knelt down in the dust of the road of life. They asked Jesus, "What must I do?" And Jesus gave them an answer. Jesus told them, but they were very sorrowful because they couldn't let go. Whatever it might be, they wanted to hang on to the very thing Jesus was saying you need to let go of. You can't get through the needle's eye. Holding on to that, you can't. Son, you can't. Daughter, and they get up. They get up off their knees and they walk away sorrowful. And perhaps at a later date, they come to their senses. Perhaps at a later date, you know, somebody tells them again about the message, the good news. Or later on in life, you know, that they're tormented, they're haunted, even in their dreams. It's constantly what Jesus was saying to them on the road when they knelt down before Jesus and asked Jesus the question. And so years later, they come to their senses, and they surrender their life to Jesus, and they finally get through the needle's eye. But squandered years. Why? Years where they could have been fruitful in the kingdom, years they could have been through the needle's eye used by God so mightily, the thread of a life. Jesus wanted to use them all those years to sew and to mend and to stitch and to beautify. But they walked away. Because they weren't ready to let go. This young man, when did it happen for him? He was young. Did he wait till he was a little older? Not so young, rich ruler. Old, rich ruler. Jesus gave him the invitation of a lifetime. Right here, the eye of the needle. Could the young rich ruler have been the disciple that replaced Judas? Interesting thought. Came up in conversation. Thread is strong, yet easily broken. We know how fragile life is, how fragile life can be. Even the strongest thread is weak without Jesus. Jesus is strength. You can inherit eternal life today. You too can become a co-heir with Jesus today. We're talking about eternal salvation, eternal inheritance, and eternity can start now. Eternity starts now on this side. You can start living eternity and eternally on this side of heaven. And when the time comes, death, but a gateway, a door, a needle's eye, or a thread of a life slips into glory. Can you see through the needle's eye? Seems impossible. Have you ever taken up a little needle and tried to look and peer through the eye? It seems impossible, but the Lord can make it possible. Such a small eye, and ours so big. So we think. Can you see through the eye to the other side? Can you see through the eye to kingdom life? Can you see through the eye? The world can't see it unless Jesus opens their eyes, illuminated by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God Almighty. They can't see through. Have you ever spoken to somebody and you're like, can't you see kingdom life? Can't you see through? And they just can't see through because the eye of the needle is too small. And we walk away from conversation with them from all these years of talking to them, and we're just like, I don't know why they can't get it. Well, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And when you see through the needle's eye and you catch a true glimpse and a true revelation of kingdom life, you're going to let go of the humps and you're going to slip right through. You know you're a thread of a life. You're saying, I'm going in. I want in, Jesus. Can you see through the eye to the other side? The kingdom, the Spirit of the Lord can aid this day. How do you get through the eye? How do you get through the eye? Self, pride, reluctance, and here, an I mentality and view. How do you get through? You need to see not a capital but a small little I to get through. We could talk about thread weight. Even some thread doesn't fit through. I've tried. Contraction. Sometimes the end of thread has become frayed. Have you ever tried? The end of the thread has become frayed. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking today. And you can't get the thread through the eye of the needle. The thread has become afraid. It could fit, but it needs trimming. It needs wetting. You're saying, I'm a thread, but frayed. My life is frayed. How could I ever be saved? How could I ever get through the eye of the needle? It's impossible. You're quoting Jesus' words. It's easier for a camel to go through than for me to go through. You could fit, but your life is frayed. That's the viewpoint. That's the reality. Even when a thread, we still need Jesus to get through, to thread us through the eye of the kingdom. Just need a little living water. You know what I'm talking about? The thread is frayed at the end. You can't get it through the eye of the needle. Just need a little living water. And it slips right through. And Jesus deals with it all. Jesus deals with the frayed and the frayed. Just a little living water. Well, today it's being a picture of complete and completed surrender to Jesus, taking up the cross and following Him, truly following, not from a distance or from stance. Some want to follow Jesus from a distance and some want to follow Him from a stance. That's not how it works. You're not following. Not like He intended. He said, come. And He says today. And would you hear it afresh? How beautiful the invitation. There we are, kneeling in the dust on the road of life. And Jesus says, come. take up the cross and follow me. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. If you need prayer for anything, please feel free to make your way to the front. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't slipped through the eye of the needle, listen, even if your life is frayed and you think it's way too frayed to ever get through, you just need a little living water today. Jesus can make it happen. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I want to say this, there are many in this room today I know that have been praying for loved ones that aren't saved. You've been praying and you've been trying to encourage. You've been speaking with them and sharing with them and doing all you can to try and have them see through the eye of the needle. Don't give up. With man, it's impossible. We're looking at that. But with God, all things are possible. And he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to be saved. And how thankful we are, those of us that have slipped through the eye of the needle, that one day we had our frayed life right there and Jesus put a little living water. We drank of the living water. Jesus put a little living water on the thread and weaved us through. He brought us into kingdom life. Rejoice! We're on the other side. We're through the needle. Why so sad, son? Jesus has taken you through. We are more than overcomers. We're victorious because of Jesus. We should be living different, different viewpoint, different attitude. We're not living like those that cannot see kingdom life on the other side of the eye of the needle. We're through, and we see things differently. We see life and world and all things differently. We see like Jesus. My Lord, we need the joy of the Lord nowadays. You know, I don't know what happened. Did we leave joy on the other side of the eye of the needle? Jesus didn't say, I'm going to thread you through so that you're going to live a miserable life. We're supposed to be full of joy and gladness and rejoicing. Do you know, some in this room today, you're praying for some great miracle that you think is the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is salvation. That's the greatest miracle. You're like, no, it's not. I want to see somebody raised from the dead. Well, what if that person's raised from the dead, never gives their life to Jesus, dies on the wrong side of the needle eye? Was that the greatest miracle? I think it's a greater miracle to see them go through. That's the greatest miracle. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner gets saved. Man, I'm so thankful for the day that Jesus took me through the eye of the needle. Whatever the humps represent today, let go. Whatever the heaps represent today, let go. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. Don't walk away from the invitation. If you